following broadcast may result in feelings such as the want to be a Karen, undeniable offendedness, and the sudden urge to search for a safe place. If you experience any of those feelings during this broadcast, well, I really don't care, because here we discuss just about everything. From the nastiest of sex, to politics, to religion, down to that one night stand that just won't leave you alone, all the way up to that relationship you've been in for 10 years and still can't figure it out. No topic is too messy. So, if you're that family member that gets invited to social gatherings and told to behave, this is the place for you. Sit back, relax, grab a drink, and welcome to Kate Unfiltered. What is up, guys? It is your girl, Kate, here. Welcome to Kate Unfiltered, episode number 3. I am super stoked to be here with you guys today. I apologize with the delay of the release of this episode. It's been a super hectic, crazy time with the holidays, but that is not going to stop us. Let's hop right into it, guys. So today, we are covering, have you been diagnosed as a white supremacist, homophobic, narcissistic, sexist, racist in 2020? You know what, guys, so have I. And this is a support group for us struggling with such an intense diagnosis. So first, we're going to cover this white supremacy bullshit. I just want to come out here and say, y'all, I am a lovely chocolate woman, and I have been called white supremacist I don't know how many times so far in 2020. And I feel like the word racism has been so overly used in this lovely year of fuckery. It's like people don't even really know what the word means anymore. I feel like we're just throwing it on anything that we're offended by, which frankly is everything with this hypersensitive generation. So let's just cover the definition of racism real quick, shall we? Prejudice, discrimination, and antagonism directed against a person or people on the basis of their membership in a particular racial or ethnic group. Typically, this is the key, like, let's just focus on that really quick. Typically, one that is a minority or marginalized. It does not say only the minority. It says typically one that is the minority. All right. Nowhere does it say minus black people. Nowhere does it say that a large group cannot experience racism. It just says typically it is one that is a minority. Okay. The, I guess, sub-definition is the belief that different races possess distinct characteristic abilities or qualities, especially so as to distinguish them as inferior or superior to one another. Inferior or superior. Not just superior. Inferior or superior. So to say that someone is less than because of their skin tone, or someone is better than, can be deemed racist, all right? So I just wanted to cover the definition because I feel like a lot of people don't understand the definition of racism. I think one of the first comebacks that you get when it comes to racism is, well, that's not racist, that's prejudice. Prejudice is literally the first word in the definition of racism. So just wanted to drop that little nugget of knowledge out there for anyone that may need to use it in the future. All right, guys, I also want to talk about, what is white supremacy in 2020? Basically, if you like Trump, if you don't believe that black people are oppressed, or if you believe that we should all be looked at as Americans and not our skin tone, you're a white supremacist. I am genuinely, this is me on behalf of the lovely chocolate individuals in the world, or POCs, whatever the PC term is, whatever. If you're white, you're not a white supremacist. I know. That's what you have not been told. The world has been telling you now for quite some time that if you're white, all of a sudden, you just hate everyone. And that's not the case. In my opinion, and I'm going to ruffle some feathers when I say this, I really don't give a flying fuck. In my opinion, I feel like the white community probably experiences more racism than most minorities in today's nation. I said what I said. Okay, tell me another race that other races collectively can just look at and like come together on and be like, yeah, fuck those guys. Oh yeah, they don't go through anything. They don't have any struggle. They don't have any problems. Their life is golden. They were born with lack of melanin. All of a sudden, the world loves them. Ironically, though, the world that we're saying that white people don't struggle in, that exact same world, a majority of that world looks at white people and says, fuck you guys on a regular. So can someone explain to me that whole concept? Like, I also think that we don't really think about the class issue in today's nation, okay? When you think about it, when you're born, all right, when you exit your mother's vaginal canal, all right, there is not a meeting with a secretary leaving that birth canal being like, okay, so I wanted to let you know, okay, when you enter reality here, you're about to meet all the peoples, all the living beings out in the world. You need to act this way in order to be oppressed. Oh, sorry, you're white? Okay, well, you can just go because it's going to be easy for you. That doesn't happen. There's no secretary that releases you with notes to follow, okay? So any baby that's born, depending on what their parental living situation is, that's what they're being born into. So it's a class issue. It's not a race issue. I know plenty of people that are white that live in trailer parks, that live in meth addict infested communities, and they're white. And that has nothing to do with their skin. It has to do with the class they were born into. Okay, LeBron James's kids are not struggling the way that the white teacher that teaches in a rundown school system is living. Like, one of those is definitely more privileged than the other, and they are definitely not the same skin tone. So I just wanted to put that out there. I don't know why the white supremacy card has been pushed so much, but people are saying things that they don't understand the definition of anymore. Okay, let's go on to the next topic that I feel like is super apparent in society right now. This terminology of homophobia. Okay, guys, if you guys don't know, I am openly bisexual. I am for the titties, and I am also for the D. And I just, as someone who is bisexual, I have a big issue with what Gen Z is taking gay struggles on as. I think for anyone out there that is listening, that is gay, bi, whatever, you know, the fight that we fought to have, quote unquote, the same rights as straight people, we wanted to be acknowledged. We wanted to be respected. We wanted to be seen as equals to straight people. Okay, this whole, like, oh, well, if you don't want to date a trans person, you're transphobic. Oh, if you don't want to date a gay person, you're homophobic. No, they're just straight. They're straight. This whole movement of that you have to be sexually attracted to someone who's transgender, the idea that you have to be open to dating someone who's gay, like, I hear as a bisexual person, I'm telling you, no, bro, you're just straight, and that's totally okay. You do not have to be gay. You do not have to be attracted to trans people in order to be able to be like, cool, man, do you. That's not inclusive, and I feel like this younger generation does not understand it. And I feel like we're teaching with all this stuff going on right now that if you throw a big enough tantrum, if you scream and you cry, that eventually you'll get your way. So we have this trend happening right now of you have to be attracted to trans men. Or trans women. You have to be into gay people. That doesn't make any fucking sense. We'd be removing the entire straight community if that was the case. Okay? And that's not a bad thing. So to be a homophobic is not to have a preference. If you prefer the V and you've got a D, love it. Embrace it. Smother yourself in it. All for it. If you prefer to rub chopsticks together, abso-fucking-lutely, do you. Live your life. If you prefer to do arts and crafts and scissor it up, I'm all for it. Live your life. But you don't have to force your preference on someone else to be able to function, and them not wanting your preference does not make you homophobic. I thought I would just put that out there. And I think along with that, you know, when I said preferences earlier, guys, this translates into so many other things in society right now, okay? I see a lot, and this is coming from someone that used to be 315 pounds, 320 pounds. And I didn't understand this for a long, long time. All right, we've got this other big movement of like body positivity and inclusivity with body types. Okay, guys, I was a big girl, all right? I was a chunky monkey. I cannot tell you how toxic the body positivity movement was for me as a person. Now, this is my personal opinion. You guys know that if you're listening, I say what I think. You don't have to agree with me. I don't give a flying fuck. That's fine, but hear me out. The body positivity movement was probably one of the most toxic things for me as a former big girl. The reason why, it justifies unhealthy living. And I'm seeing a lot of people get shamed for not necessarily wanting to date bigger girls or bigger guys, you know, dad bods, love it, here for it. I'm all for the cuddles, but it is something that people are like shaming people for wanting fit people or shaming people for wanting to be with smaller people. And here's the thing, guys, it's a fucking preference. And frankly, as someone who was bigger, I used to be so enraged by this because I was like, yeah, you're not giving us big girls a chance. But then I started to realize that the guys that weren't doing that a lot of the time are like severe health nuts. Like they are gym rats for life. Now, I'm not saying all gym rats are like that, but think about this. The amount of time that someone puts into being at the gym, right? Okay, they're putting in hours, they're going 2 to 3 times a day, maybe if they're, a fitness competitor. They may want to be with someone that shares that lifestyle. And if you're sitting on the couch eating Cheetos, watching Netflix all day, you're probably going to have some clashing issues when it comes to your lifestyles functioning together. And frankly, now that I've lost the weight and I've gotten healthier, I'm so angry towards the idea that there are people out there that are encouraging you being okay with being unhealthy. Like I had health issues, guys, that were things I shouldn't be having at 23 years old. And a year later at 24, if I had continued that behavior, I don't know if I'd be 100 pounds heavier now. So I'm all for loving yourself. I am all for being confident. Do you, queen, sir, whoever, that's fine. But if it is causing health complications and you are encouraging people to be unhealthy, that's a problem. And if you have an issue with someone not wanting to be with someone who is ignoring the fact that they are unhealthy, that's not a bad preference to have. You can have a preference, just like you can have a preference in hair color, skin tone, eye color. I don't know, whatever, like any characteristic of a human being you can have a preference for, and that doesn't make you discriminatory towards anyone else. It just means that you have an attraction to something different. I don't understand why that's such a hard concept to understand. We have become so soft as a society of everyone having to be like hand-holdy and everyone has to like me. Okay, well, not everyone is going to like you, and that is okay. Let's just say that and be good with that. Moving forward from that, we're just going to talk about all the different toxic movements that are going on today, guys. Something that I get called regularly because of my views about feminism is I am misogynistic, I am sexist. I don't know if anyone else struggles with that, specifically my ladies. I don't know if there are any other ladies that get told that they are a gender traitor because of the views that they have towards feminism. Feminism is not real feminism. Today, modern day feminism is not real feminism. It used to be a fight for, equal rights of women to men without having hatred for men. It was simply, hey, we want the right to vote. Cool. I feel like that's understandable. Like, you're a human being, men are a human being, women can be smart too. I'm here for that. Now it's become like this complete different wave of, if you have a schlong, I hate you. Oh, you have a dick, you're entitled to all these different things. Ladies, I don't know if you've realized this, but we actually have quite a bit as women that we have humongous power over men, starting with the court system, which is kind of a major one. All right, I don't know, like literally our legal system favors us in so many different ways. Look at custody battles. Basically, if you have a vagina, you have like a 60% chance, higher chance of winning a custody battle simply because you're the mother. I know so many single dads that have been screwed over by the court system merely because of the fact that they're male. And unfortunately, the court system deems them as unfit or incapable of being able to take care of a kid, okay? Think about this, all right? If a woman calls the cops and says that a man hit her, all right, who's, even if he didn't do it, all right, or even if she threw something at him and in self-defense, he grabbed her wrist. Well, if he grabbed too hard and she's got a bruise on her wrist now, who's going to jail? Even if it was in self-defense, they don't give a shit about that. If there is no evidence at all whatsoever, there doesn't need to be evidence necessarily to back up her story, but if there is no evidence to back up his story, and sometimes even when there is, they end up with jail time or with charges, with very little questioning and very little investigation. And so to say that we have, oh, well, we have it so hard as women, frankly, I don't really agree with that. I don't agree with the toxic idea that all men are shitty, and that we're being oppressed by men. It's funny because if you guys think about it, I don't know if you guys remember when the Free the Nipple campaign came out. Y'all, there was a time when a woman showing her ankles was like scandalous. It was like, oh my gosh, Or when two-piece bathing suits came out, it was like, oh my gosh, like that's so slutty, that's so scandalous. And I think it's hilarious that as our way of wanting to have stronger women's rights, The exact same thing that we hate on men for, oogling women, right? The things that, oh, they're so thirsty, they just check out women's booties and titties. So here's what we're gonna do. In order to fight for women's rights, we're gonna walk around with pasties, and instead of making men go to the strip club and pay to see that shit, we're just gonna give it to them free and walk around the streets with signs and chanting "Free the nipple." Y'all. You can't have both. You can't be there and be like, oh, you guys are just pigs because all you want is titties and ass, and then turn around and be like, oh, well, we're gonna find this empowerment by giving it to you without you asking. In fact, we're gonna force you to look at it, but then we're gonna call you pigs for looking at it. I don't get it. What is it that we're fighting for at this point? So if you are someone that's called sexist, if you're someone that's being called a misogynist for calling out the hypocrisies of modern day feminism, my hat goes off to you. Wear it like a badge of honor because that shit is so fucking hypocritical. It's insane. I don't know why it's something that we are pushing so hard in today's nation, guys. This is such a generational thing too. I know a lot of my listeners, my age group kind of ranges, but most of you guys are 90s, 80s, 70s, 60s kids. I say kids, we old, it's okay. But you guys know the real struggle. All right, no offense to my younger ones that listen, but y'all don't know real struggle. Gen Z does not know real struggle. And when you look at the issues that we're facing in today's society, it's not a matter of, you almost feel bad for them. You can't even so much be mad at them because they were raised with a nation that has been coddling their feelings for God knows how long now. No one's teaching them, look, you don't have it that bad. All right, you're not struggling right now. There are people in third world countries that have to be careful what they post on social media because if they don't, they can end up in jail. Yet we're out here sending death threats to each other, thinking that we have our life so hard and that we have no freedom of speech and what freedom in America. It's scary how privileged and soft and spoiled we've become as a nation. And so I emphasize to you guys as much as I have in any of my other episodes so far, raise your kids, right? Okay, I know that it can be hard because, and I've had it. I've called kids out on my social media platforms that want to act big. They want to come to my page and they want to be like, oh yeah, you don't know shit. And I'm like, I will school your ass. If your parents are not teaching you what they need to be teaching you, I have no problem doing so, queen. No problem at all. I do not care if you run to mom crying. All right, someone's got to teach kids something. And I understand, yes, it's not necessarily our job to parent other people's kids, but it's not so much that. It's just teaching the realities of the world. All right, it's cool when you're behind a phone or you're behind a computer screen and you're texting and typing away and there's no repercussions. Somebody's got to start teaching this younger generation. You guys have it real fucking good. And I think, I'm hoping, you know, everyone's talking about this Civil War happening and they're like, ah, oh, well. You know, I don't know. I hope it fucking happens. I'll be real with you guys. I really do. And I know that's fucked up to say, but at the same time, the amount of plush, soft, coddled lifestyle that would end if that was to occur would be such a wake-up call to so many in this younger generation that don't understand how good they have it. And unfortunately, I feel like that we are at a point as a nation right now that we are so brainwashed that we kind of need all the good to be gone to understand just how good we have it. And I'm not really that worried because I feel like if that was to occur, there are people like myself that are prepared for this situation. All right. We're just going to make our own little communities. It's going to be great. We're going to survive just fine. All right. We're going to be A-okay. But I just kind of want to have my own little binocular setup, you know, and just kind of watch the meltdown start to occur across the nation. Be like, huh, it sucks, doesn't it? When you don't have the internet, huh? Wonder how you're gonna function without being able to tweet about how booty hurt you are about not being able to get your Starbucks on time. That sucks, doesn't it? It's amazing what makes your self-identity when the stuff that makes your self-identity doesn't really mean shit. But I'm serious, guys. Like, we really have to think about that. And that comes down to what I've said so far: white supremacy, homophobia, toxic feminism. Like, we don't understand the words in which we are saying. That's the scary thing, is on a mass level, so many people don't understand the words that they're talking about. They don't understand the labels that they're giving people. And if you go and try to challenge them on that, if you go and ask them to try and explain it, and they attempt to, and then you show them what that word means, and then it's like, oh, well, fine. If you're not racist, then you're just an asshole. Well, why? because my opinion is different than yours. That's another thing. Guys, this is just going to be a snowball effect type rambling, you know, podcast today. It's the fact that us as a nation right now, guys, we can't function with the idea that someone else may have a different ideology than we do. We can't fathom the concept that someone may have a different opinion. And the idea of coexisting in a space with someone that has different views than us is incomparable. Do you realize how boring and how one-sided this nation would be, the world would be, if people didn't have opposing views? If you surround yourself with individuals that don't have different ideologies and different views, you'll never grow. If you want to be surrounded with people that have nothing but the same ideas, they support everything you do, which is fine. Having support is good. But if you have no one challenging you on the way that you think, how is it that you gain a educated, thorough perspective on the different aspects of life? You don't. You can't. You'll be in this one little box, and then when you enter the real world at some point, shape, or form, if that's ever forced on you to happen, you're going to have a mental breakdown and melt. I mean, that's literally what will occur. So I find it fascinating, and you're seeing it more in like even college systems, where you've got these super liberal college professors teaching today's youth this one way of thinking and how intolerant you have to be. And you have to claim that you're tolerant, though. You can't say that you're intolerant to someone else's way of thinking. You have to say that you want all people's views, that you're accepting of everything as long as it is your thought process. It's cool for you to think differently, but you have to also agree with my thought process at all times. That doesn't make any sense. I see this all the time in the Black community, guys. I am allowed, the Black community will allow me to be Black as long as I'm the type of Black that they want me to be. You're allowed to be American as long as you are the type of American that society wants you to be. And I think that ironically, it's the exact same people screaming about how little freedom they have in America that are forcing this way of living onto other people, that are saying, oh, well, you have to live the way that I'm telling you to live. And if you don't do that, then you're just a low-life piece of shit that doesn't deserve to be living here in the States. Well, Susan, that is a bit aggressive. That's a lot. That's a lot to unpack there. So to emphasize my overall point of every single topic that I've covered so far, guys, other people's lack of intellectual ability does not make it your problem. I'm going to say that again. Other people's lack of intellectual ability does not make it your problem. It is not your job to have to make someone less stupid. It is not your job to have to explain yourself to everyone. It's not. I think it's a wonderful teaching opportunity, but you have to be able to look at a conversation with someone like that and know when it's beyond help. You can't fix stupid. Sometimes people are just really ingrained in their ways and they're not going to change, that they're perfectly fine walking around with the mindset that they have, and that's cool. But when someone tries to project that ideology onto you and you're not accepting it, and they're sitting there and they're calling you all these names and telling you how much of a lowlife you are, that's when you just have to smile, look at them and say, hey, you know, this has been a great conversation. I think we could just part ways on this one. Because as infuriating as it may be, you are not doing yourself any benefit to engage in an interaction with someone who operates that way. And usually when the name calling starts happening, guys, you've won the argument. Anytime that someone is unable to present facts and start attacking you personally, it usually means that you have won that conversation. Not that it's about winning, but that's usually what it means. You guys know how I am. It's facts over feelings every single time. That's how I operate. That's how I always will be. And if I can't go into a conversation about a controversial topic and strictly have that conversation on facts, and I feel the need to attack the person in which I'm talking to, that means there's flawed logic in what I'm thinking, and I need to reevaluate my view on something. And that's okay. It's to be able to be humble and be able to acknowledge when you're wrong is a wonderful trait to have. You may learn a perspective that you hadn't even considered before, and that's also okay. That doesn't make you weak. That makes you open-minded. That makes you mature. But if someone's coming at you and they're saying, oh, well, you're just fat and ugly and stupid, and you're an orange man lover and all this different shit, when it gets to that point, it means that the presenting of facts that you have given, or the presentation of facts that you have given,
they no longer can challenge with intellectual ability. So they're just trying to make you feel inferior. And when they have reached that point, just take peace in what you have said and walk away. There's nothing more that you can say to that person. So I just wanted to cover that. I think that right now, guys, there's a lot of people that are trying to make it through 2020. Honestly, guys, I don't think the beginning of 2021 is going to be much better, to be totally honest with you. There is so much stuff that still has to come to light, from the election to the social norms that are occurring right now. I have a strong belief this is going to be something we ride out through 2021. I know a lot of you didn't want to hear it, but that's the reality of it. Our problems right now as a nation are so much deeper than just politics. Our problems as a nation is our basic intellectual function. And until that gets addressed, until we stop having to be accepting of absolutely everything, and I do mean everything, you can't make everyone happy. Okay? This isn't a participation award, a participation trophy type of society. You get what you get, you don't pitch a fit. And you get more if you work your ass off. That's life. You know? So for me, I feel like we have a huge duty right now of acknowledging that the young people of this nation are going to be the next older generation. They are going to be raising kids one day. And if we don't nip this in the butt now, I'm gonna be a very cranky old woman on my front porch yelling a lot of profanity at a lot of motherfuckers. I'm gonna tell you that. And I don't necessarily think this civil war is necessarily gonna happen around the election time either, guys. I mean, I think this is gonna come to a point where you have a huge line in the sand between our way is the highway and stop being a crying bitch liberal. I hate to say it that way, but I mean, that's the truth. And granted, no, not all liberals are that way. But a majority of where that ideology of it's our way or the highway is coming from is a liberalistic mindset. But I'm gonna leave you guys with that. I know that I kind of repeated myself a little bit here, but I just it's infuriating. So again, start learning the definitions of the words that you are speaking before you say them. And no, you are not a white supremacist. You are not sexist. You are not homophobic. You are not transphobic. You are your own individual with your own preferences, and that is just fine. We are all American, and that's all that fucking matters. So if you love this country, if you want to fight for this country, if you want to fight for what you believe in and what you stand for, I am so happy to have you as a listener. And I hope that you guys have an awesome week this week. I hope everyone has a great holiday. I'll definitely talk to you before then. I hope you guys had an awesome Thanksgiving. And go enjoy your day, guys. I will talk to you later. Be sure to follow all the social media platforms, _ Kate Stinson, _ on Instagram, The Southern Oreo on TikTok. And you can find me at Kate Stinson or The Southern Oreo on Facebook. Love you guys. Have an awesome day.